Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. This is the place for true grassroots Americans who are fed up with the corruption, the self-serving actions, anti-American, unconstitutional actions of those who are supposed to be representing us. Here we come together to share ideas, information, try to work together to truly be united as Americans. What a concept, right? Anyway, today is Thursday, January 30th, 2013, and this is Sally Baptist. My co-host Charlie Klein will be joining us momentarily. Excuse me. We originally were going to have Mark Baker with Green Acres on tonight. Mark is one of the victims of our government. He's a pig farmer in Michigan, and the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, has been chasing out all the pig farmers in Michigan just about. It's just more of the typical EPA, this government trying to take over, the Agenda 21 stuff going on. And it's just a totally anti-American disgrace what is happening here. But anyway, Mark will be on the show on Monday, okay? So please tune in, learn what's going on, and see what you can do to help him out, because he's a victim of a tyrannical government that's literally trying to take his farm away from him. It's disgusting, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen. It is about as anti-American as it gets. Excuse me. And last night, we had Morton Blackwell on. We had a special show, Morton Blackwell, from the Leadership Institute. He's also a major figure in the RNC, and he is out there trying to get the RNC to change the rules, the games they played at the Tampa convention, the RNC convention in Tampa. So we had a good discussion on that last night, and Mr. Blackwell, he definitely still believes there's hope for the GOP. And, you know, I wish him well with that. I really do. I personally don't think there's hope for the GOP. I don't think there's hope for either one of these parties. I think they've both lost their usefulness, and the GOP has shot itself in the foot so many times it just can't stand anymore. But that was a discussion. So if you happen to want to call in to discuss any of that from last night, please feel free to do so. But the first thing we're going to do tonight is we're going to let Charlie explain to us, as Charlie said yesterday, he mentioned on the show yesterday, last night, he was going to be going to Senator Marco Rubio's office today and proposing his tax plan. IRS off your back is what he refers to it as, and I'm going to ask Charlie to explain for you, for everybody out there, to understand what it is and, of course, give us an update on what happened at Marco Rubio's office. Excuse me. And then on that, we're just going to kind of talk about whatever is on anyone's mind. You know, today I've been extremely busy, and I haven't even listened to the news today. The only thing that's been bouncing around is the immigration issue, and that's Marco Rubio and Obama and the games that they play and McCain, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we talked a little bit about that last night. And right now, like I said, I haven't watched the news today, so I can't give you any other updates of anything that truly happened today. But if you have anything you specifically want to talk about, please feel free to call in, 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364, press 1 to speak on the air. And you can also go out to the chat room. I'll be checking the chat room to see what's going on out there. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and ask Charlie to give us an update on what all he's been doing today, how it went with Marco Rubio, also to explain to everybody what IRS off your back is all about. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And my IRS off your back has been changed to combination 8% sales tax with a backup and temporary flexible flat tax. But you can still refer to it as IRS off our backs, because that is what the prime goal is. But with my plan, nobody gets hurt, including the IRS. They continue to work. And basically, my plan starts with a 2 to 3% national sales tax on everything, except medical and food, healthy food. And then it slowly goes up to a maximum of 8%. And the only way it can go any higher is if the citizens vote for it in a referendum on the two major election days every 2 years. However, the flexible flat tax, the money that's received from the sales tax, will be totaled by the IRS at the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. On October 1st, after that, all the receipts should be into the IRS so they know just how much money was received from the sales tax, which will range anywhere from, say, 4 to 8%, depending on what item you buy. Cars will probably have a maximum of 4% sales tax on it, those that are manufactured in the United States. Anybody who buys a car that is manufactured out of the United States would probably have a 6% sales tax, and that's what I am projecting. The plan is so flexible that Congress can make the adjustments whichever way they want, but it all has to be geared for the good of the American people to help bring down the need for, how would you say, long-time and hard income tax filings. This plan only has to do with the individual taxpayers. It does not have anything to do with businesses, corporations, or the super rich like Madoff and all those people, like Madoff, who's now in prison, but the Wall Street personnel. And it does not have anything to do, I did not do anything in regarding to taxing anything at the security exchange, Wall Street. People can trade whatever they want. It's up to Congress if they want to decide on charging something like 0.0001% or something like that for all trades, because they trade in so many millions that it would be kind of difficult to do it. But, you know, something like a 0.005%, like a half a penny or a quarter of a penny or something like that per dollar would not be bad. It would at least help the economy. But I did not cover that, and I also did not put anything in there about the housing because of the problems we're having with the housing. And that is a huge, how would you say, investment for the people. So, but anyway, getting to the flexible flat tax. The flexible flat tax would bring, the way I'm proposing it, and based on my calculations back in 2000, 2001, is millionaires at 36% could drop down to approximately 16 to 20% payroll deduction for income taxes, plus whatever they spend at the cash register. Which means they could get by with anywhere from a 24 to a maximum 28% total tax for the year. This plan would also reduce and eliminate a lot of tax deductions, but not tax deductions for charities. Those would still remain in force because we need to make sure that we take care of those who are in need. And through the churches, people who are in need, it would be good that welfare went through churches and not through the government. But I didn't go into any of those details. I went mainly into the fact that we can get the IRS off the people's back by going to an 8% national sales tax, which will take a few months to implement, with a flexible flat tax. Now, when I went to... When I called Senator Rubio's office yesterday, I was treated very cordially, very professionally, and really, surprisingly, very, very, I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. When I went there today, I was treated with total respect. It was like they wanted to hear from me. I actually felt like I was back in a service-oriented environment, like when I worked at the airlines, where everything was service to the customer, do whatever you can for the customer. I was absolutely astonished at how well I was treated by everybody in the Rubio office. It was like, we are here to serve you, the senator's constituent. We are here to hear what you want to do to help improve this country. And Sally, I was absolutely pleased with everything that went on in Senator Rubio's office. Unlike our little incident over at Mark Street, when you went up there and you talked with Daniel Webster, it was totally, totally opposite to what you experienced with Daniel Webster at Mark Street that time that they were honoring the World War II veterans. I mean, it was
pretty obvious. I was going after Webster to challenge some of the things he was saying, so
that's
he
right.
took off running. And Rubio would do the same thing. Rubio's office has been extremely rude to me when I called to challenge, ask questions about what his position was. When I didn't agree with what his position was, they were borderline insulting. But, you know, you weren't there challenging Rubio. You were there making a suggestion, and hopefully somebody will listen.
Well, they did. And I'm just saying, I'm giving you my experience and comparing it with what I observed your experience with Daniel Webster. Now, as far as your dealings with Senator Rubio's office personnel, it's totally different, and you were, and I don't know what your approach was at the time. Mine was going there to do something good for the American people, and I wanted answers, I wanted questions, and I wanted to present the idea, and I presented the idea in the best way that I knew how, and
yeah,
I got...
Yeah, but you weren't challenging...
There's different ways of challenging people, too, or asking them questions about different things. And like I said, I don't know how you did it, if you were cordial with them or if you were argumentative.
Well, okay,
argumentative. I don't know what you did. But what I'm saying is how you dealt with Rubio's office is totally different than what I am projecting to the listeners. When I went to Rubio's office, it's a total difference. Yours was something because you were upset about something. Mine was because I'm upset about something, but I wanted to see if we can get something done for the good of the American people and for the good of this great country in regards to doing something about the IRS that is a pain in everybody's side. And I was Sally, let me finish now.
Well, you asked me to talk about it, so I'm talking about it.
If you want to interject something negative,
no.
Then that's fine.
No, I just want people to understand the difference, because you're making it sound like that when I have an idea that I attack, I said, no, call in Rubio's office and say, would you please don't push amnesty? You know, I really don't want you. It's just not, it's two different things. But I'm gonna be quiet until you finish what you're saying. I won't say anything else until you're finished.
Well, it was a very positive situation for me. I was very pleased, and I actually believe there is hope for this country with the way I was treated by Rubio's office and by his office personnel. And that is the way that's my story. I'm sticking with it, and I hope that they are going to send my proposal up to Washington to discuss it, and he told me what would happen. I'd either get a call from him or I'd get a call directly from Washington asking me different ideas about the plan. That is the first time since 1990 that anybody of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party ever showed an interest in this idea that my late brother and I have been working on since 1990. I was absolutely very pleased with the positive attitude I received from Rubio's personnel, from his office, and how they said that this is what the senator wants to do, and he wants everybody to work with the constituents to try to get and solve the problems of this country. It was an absolute wonderful experience of the way I was treated, and I have a very positive feeling that something good may even happen with the Republican Party if we get more people like Marco Rubio in office, or they start acting like Marco Rubio, those who are in office, instead of the way they have been acting in the past, thinking that they are the boss over the people. I did not get that feeling. I felt like I was the one who was the important one in that office. Now, you can do whatever you want and say whatever you want about Marco Rubio, but I was totally impressed with the way he handled me. Back to you.
Well, and, you know, first off, you're obviously, we have two different personalities. You're a little bit older than me. You're a man and you're a veteran. And so you're going to be treated somewhat different. The other aspect is here, you went through saying, here's an idea I have to do something about the IRS and the taxes, something they hadn't heard of. Now, if you would, and if you truly believe in amnesty, like Marco Rubio is saying, then go ahead and support it if that's what you believe. Tell Marco Rubio he's wonderful.
I had nothing to do with amnesty, Sally. It was strictly about talking about the IRS situation.
But you're making references to my conversations with Rubio and my. But I personally, I did not go and say, here, Mr. Marco Rubio, here is a proposal I have for immigration. Because my own immigration plan, which I have communicated with him, is that we start enforcing the current immigration laws. And I've said that politely. Would you please just enforce the immigration laws and we won't secure the border and enforce the current laws? There is nothing else that you have to do. But that isn't what they want to hear. But Rubio, which, again, I have not approached Rubio's office on this specific thing, but I have definitely approached the offices about transportation, and you know that, where you and I have both done it. We have gone out there with the bus hub system that you came up with, and then me, I provided other options to fund the roads without having toll roads, and I was never hateful to them. I said, here's another way to do it, just like you did with the bus hub. We were, and I can tell you, it has been my experience of, and this goes back to when we had my brother, who has been missing since 2005, trying to get assistance on that. You know, you write a nice letter to whoever it is, and you get a standard pre-printed, whatever you want to call it, crapple letter. Thank you for calling or writing the office. We really care what you think. Yes, we will definitely look into this. Yes, it's so wonderful. And yes, okay, fine. You never hear another word from them. But they were polite. And they said, you know, yep, we sent them a pacifier. We responded. We're not going to do anything, but they won't know that. But they were polite. And when you're going in there proposing something, just as you went down to Links, you know what happened when you went down to Links to propose the bus hub system. They don't necessarily slam the door in your face and get insulting. They will pacify, and then they will ignore. Personally, I think what has happened with Rubio, in this case, he has pacified and he will ignore. I hope I'm wrong. Trust me, I want a solution to taxes just as much as you do, and I hope I am totally wrong. But I will openly admit, when I have contacted Rubio's office, and Tom Pastore has contacted Rubio's office, and you're out there saying, what is his position on this? Oh, I don't know. Well, here's what I'm concerned about. Okay, we'll tell him that. And then if you call and say, what is he doing with this amnesty thing? This is ridiculous. And he has to know that I oppose it, and I give various reasons for it, and they get insulting. Now, if I was to call and say, you know, Marco Rubio, I think he is the nicest person. He speaks Spanish perfectly. I think he's wonderful and all this fun stuff. I'm sure they'd be nice to me, too. And if I went down there, I haven't even attempted to go down to Rubio's office, and maybe I will for the sake of putting through what I would propose for transportation. And I'll see what they say. Because I do believe they'll probably listen to it. They'll take it. And who knows what they'll do with it after that. Rubio was a proponent of the high-speed bullet train. He is a proponent of wasting billions and billions of dollars on rail transit, even though we voted no. Rubio didn't care about that. Rubio didn't care about all the immigration bills when he was a House Speaker. So he didn't care about that. So I'm glad that his staff was polite to you, professional, and I truly hope it goes somewhere. If you want me to hold my breath hoping it's going to go somewhere, I'm not going to do that, but I hope it does. But please, try not to go and say, well, it's because of the way you talk to them. Give me a break. It's because of what's being said to them in the sense of, yes, here's something new. Here's please consider this. Versus, I oppose what you're doing with amnesty. There's two different messages. And if you think, Rubio, and you, how would you, let me ask you this. Since you and I think we stand on, have the same position about the amnesty, that they should, one, enforce the current immigration laws, and two, secure the borders, how would you go about asking Rubio to do that, and what do you think he'd respond?
It's a total different subject than what I was planning on talking about.
But you were saying
that's because that was office. That's your main item that you're concerned about.
Well, it's not the main item.
Mine is rejuvenating the IRS and getting them off the people's back.
Well, and
that's
hey,
what
a lot
I
of
went
us
there
would
there
love
for,
to do
and
that.
That's
too.
The main issue that I went there to talk about, and that's what I did. And I was very pleased with the way they handled it.
And you think we need more people like Marco Rubio in Washington, D.C.?
Compared to what I saw, the way we've been treated by the other elected officials, I like the way he's dealing with things, and I like the way his office staff handled everything. And therefore, I definitely, since he is new, give him a lot of credit for the way his office staff operates, because that is definitely, how would you say, shines a light on the brightness of the possibility of a better America in the future with him, whether he runs for president or not. I was very impressed with the way he dealt. Not like the way we're dealt with when we go to the Orange County Commissioners meetings or anything like that. I mean, it's a total different situation that is much, much better. And I think that he could be the shining light as far as the local Republicans go and possibly across this country.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I tell you what. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. You asked me for my opinion.
My opinion is positive.
Right now. I'm going to see what happens. And you may be right, and I hope you aren't, but they are interested in doing something about the taxes.
I've heard a lot of them say they're interested in doing something about the taxes. And like I said, Charlie, trust me, I hope they do. You know, I'll say a prayer tonight and say I sure hope that they act on what you said. But if you would trash everything else that Rubio has done in light of what he did on this one thing, I think is pretty scary to me.
I don't trash anything, Sally. I listen, I think, I analyze, and I give...
So what are the other things you like?
I give people a chance to see what they're going to do, because things change. People change. And when the people of America get together and start saying
what
they want to do... When people get of America start getting together and doing what they're supposed to do and advising our elected officials what they want done, then things will start improving around this country. The commuter rail.
We should actually
be taking action against the Orange County commissioners for violating the vote of the people.
But Marco Rubio won't do that because he believes in it. He doesn't care that we voted against it.
He didn't vote against us.
He was out there standing with Obama and Charlie Crist to cut the ribbon for the high-speed train. He was out there pushing it, too. Yes, he was.
The high-speed train commuter rail?
He supports mass transit. He's a very rhino liberal. He was there, not to mention what he did as the House Speaker on immigration. When he was the House Speaker, did you agree with the fact he blocked all those immigration bills?
I'll take in my bus hub system later.
Please do. But call his office tomorrow, or if you want to, I will, and ask him, does he promote high-speed train for Florida? Does he support and endorse John Micah's mass transit crap, as in the high-speed trains? Does he support putting tolls on the roads? I guarantee he's going to say yes to both of them, because he's a liberal. He's a liberal progressive. I mean, that's what he is. I'm going, my opinion of Marco Rubio is based on what he has done. And if you want to tell me what all, with the exception of him obviously talking to you about this today and listening, his office, not him, but listening, and that hopefully something happens, tell me all the other things you think Marco Rubio has done that's so wonderful. You're not saying anything.
No.
Well, Granny wants to get in on this conversation, so let's get Ms. Tech. And that hopefully something happens. Tell me all the other things you think Marco Rubio has done that's so wonderful. You got to get the background off.
You pissed him off.
Oh yeah, Charlie. Well, Charlie's fine. But I'm being honest. There is absolutely no way I would support Marco Rubio because I know he's a rhino. I've been watching.
Well,
what he's doing.
Wants to get in on this conversation, so let's get
you got to get your sound in the background.
Tell me all the other things you think Marco Rubio has done. Wonderful. You got to get the background off.
You pissed him off.
Oh, yeah, okay, Neil Texas, can you hear
I had
us?
To get you on speaker.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I kept hearing all that echo and hearing myself talk in the background. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just know what Rubio is. I'm sorry. I'm glad.
Well, Charlie was impressed, and he thinks he wants to change his mind, and that's okay. Because in a few weeks, guess what? He'll get unimpressed.
Well, Charlie's still out there, so he can comment. You want to ask him anything? You know, he'll. You're more than welcome to ask him anything about it.
Well, he went there, and hopefully they will pay attention to what he went with, and you know, mean what they say, and do what you know what they say they'll do. But only time is going to tell. And he was treated with respect and made to feel special. So that's given him a change of heart. And Sally, you and I are alike, and I don't think I understood what Charlie said kind of ruffled your feathers, and I understand that. I don't think he meant it exactly like it sounded. But you're like me. If I get on the phone with somebody and I'm talking to them and I start out nice and they treat me nicely, and then they start giving me responses that don't make any sense and expect me to act like I'm stupid, then I perceive they start getting the bad side of Granny. And I see you being just like me.
No, I got a little bit defensive when he tried to say that my approach with Rubio, his approach versus my approach and this stuff, and it's not...
He assumed that you went at it with guns blazing to start with.
Well, and the point is, I wasn't my communication with Rubio's office has been opposing his liberal, progressive,
exactly.
Rhino action.
Exactly,
so
and they are
not
cordial to you because of that.
Well, yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter how nice I would have said it. And I mean, sometimes I have said it nice, and sometimes it's different people on their side speak nicer too, and other times they're downright insulting.
Exactly. Plus, they try to talk to you as though you've got stupid stamped across your forehead with no common sense to boot.
Yeah, they treat you like a peasant. Tom Pastore, he's perfect. When he tried to contact, or when he did contact Rubio's office in reference to Cinco de Mayo, say, why are you're trashing the Alamo, but you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, and tried to explain to them, the individual that was on the other side, out of Rubio's office, said that the Alamo didn't have anything to do with Americans. I mean, you'd have to listen to Tom Pastore explain the whole conversation. He said they were a bunch of idiots, and they were insulting to him. So, and Tom Pastore, I don't think, he didn't call them with the intention to be hateful. He was trying to get them to support the Alamo.
True. And I understand exactly what you're saying. But in that instance, if it were me, I would be upset, yes, but the second thing I would do would get the name of their supervisor besides Rubio, and they would know what the individual did. But, oh, well, that's like me and Brother Printing Company today went round and round, and, I pulled a Sally.
Well, there is another thing out there. The type of work that I do is contract work, and I have to get projects all the time to work on.
Exactly.
And you know what? If I don't treat the customer or the client right, I don't get rehired. I get fired. And two, they don't give you a good reference. And three, I'd be out of work. And the other part, of course, is I have to know what I'm doing. So, you know, my role as a contractor to do a job is one thing. My role as a citizen to be involved and oppose what I believe is wrong is another. And also to endorse and promote what is on the other side. So when Rand Paul has done things and Ron Paul, when they've done the things that I like, I go out there and I promote that, say, yes, please keep going on with it, whatever, on that part too. So, but, I mean, when you're criticizing, I'm sorry, NDAA is wrong. Marco Rubio supports NDAA. He supports the Patriot Act. He supports amnesty. I'm sorry, these are things I think are seriously, seriously wrong. And I don't really care that he's a Latino. If he wants to be an American, be one. If he cares more about the Cubans than he does the Americans, he should go back to Cuba, period. And I mean that's my opinion based on what I have seen him do. If he wants to stand next, hold a baby, and take a picture, that doesn't mean he should be president. Sorry.
Well, also his stances on things. If you walked in his office and they didn't know your stances on things, and you know they would treat you like a queen bee. But if you walk in there and with the intentions of talking to him about the issues to which Rubio is supporting and the issue that he is claiming to be an American and wanting to stand up for the American Constitution, but yet, you know, he supported the NDAA. He has staffers who says, you know, things like, well, that hasn't got anything to do with the United States. Then they're not going to treat you nicely.
Well, and that's even it. It's like, okay, you call and you say, what is your position on this? And what happened, what Charlie was making reference to with Dan Webster.
Well, if you walked in there and did that, you would get the same treatment.
Yeah, well, and I was being polite with Dan Webster. I walked up to him and I said, I had a couple of questions for you. I wanted to ask you about things. And you're not having any more town hall meetings. And he took off and he ran.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was not rude to Dan Webster in any way, shape, or form, but he took off running because he didn't want to answer questions. He would
exactly.
And what would Marco Rubio do? My guess, if I walked up to Marco Rubio himself and did the same thing, saying, I've got some questions I want to ask you about, what your position on these issues, NDAA, the Patriot Act, I guarantee my own opinion is he would take off running.
Well, no, they'd take off running. He'd just tell you he didn't have time to talk to you.
Well, same difference.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Hey, I got something I want to tell you about.
Okay.
I told you, I wanted to last night and I forgot it, especially when your guest was home. On February the 16th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there is going to be an Impeach Obama rally. American resistance rally against Obama held at every state capital in every state. And
sounds good.
It's being hosted by Americans for Legal Immigration, PAC, of which I'm a member. And I wanted to tell you that. I'm going to send you an email about it so that you can get it out to your friends and anybody that wants to go down to the Capitol there in Florida with their little sign can join me up here in Texas in Austin with my little sign.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday. Okay. Well, if it's on a Saturday, then I have a chance to.
That's Saturday after next. I think it is.
Okay.
And what they did was they have a link up on Facebook, and they got 20,000 people to sign up, and it's growing. 67% of Texas Republicans want Obama impeached, which I got to be 67%. So I think it's important if we can get the word out to all of our friends. We might make it on the news. I don't care if my Facebook is or not. I just want the signs there.
Okay, well, please forward me the info and I'll send it out to the people on my email list.
Okay.
And I will do my best to participate in it, as long as I don't have to work. And
well,
lately,
yeah,
I
we know. You had to work for a living.
Yeah, well, system stuff, IT stuff, sometimes when you have to do implementations are on the weekend.
Right.
So, but...
Charlie, you're invited, too.
Thank you, Granny.
Okay, what's next?
Well, so whatever you want to talk about. Like I say, I kind of left it wide open today. I mean,
oh, I thought you were having a guest today too.
Well, yeah, and I mean that stuff with Mark Baker, who with Green Acres.
Yeah.
That is so disgusting what they're doing up in Michigan. It's Baker's Green Acres, and how they're trying to force all these small family farms out of business. It's so anti-American. In fact, maybe I'll go, maybe that's one, you know, we know Rand Paul has gone out there helping to fight people, protect their land, protect their property. Maybe that's a good question for me to call Marco Rubio about and ask him what he's doing to help.
Yeah.
Say, you know, you really need help. I'd be kind of curious as to what his position is on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where
I got
now,
better suggestion.
Yeah.
Set you a day that you can go to his office and get dressed and make an appointment and go up there and say, Mr. Rubio. And see how he responds to you face to face.
Well, yeah, and of course it's not Rubio, it's his staff, I'll be more than happy to make an appointment to go down there and talk to him about transportation and about this issue. So,
there you go.
You know, transportation, if you truly care about the free market, if you want to lower taxes and you want to help the economy, you would take off these stinking tolls. You would not allow interstate highways to be tolled. Now,
exactly.
I wouldn't say stinking. In my conversation, I wouldn't say stinking tolls. I would say tolls are a very regressive tax against middle and lower income people. They are the ones who suffer the most, and it's a negative on small businesses. If you want to help improve the economy and lower taxes, do something to stop them from being able to toll the interstate highway system, which is part of our national defense and our emergency evacuation system, and law enforcement needs it.
Well, the other thing is, you know, used to the toll roads belonged to the state. And the state was the one that used the money to pay for the road. Well, what they're doing now is no longer being done for the state. They're letting the Spanish company here in Seguin and Perry, here in Texas, and Perry is fixing to get back on his little horse about this again. He's selling off land, going to the farmers, ranchers, and people that own land in the areas that they're going to come through, and selling the parcels of land, these parcels of land, to a Spanish company from Spain. They come in and build the toll road. They come in and apply the tolls, and they are the ones gathering the money for the tolls. The state hasn't got a damn thing to do with it. And 10-1, this is what's going to happen in Florida.
Well, it's already happening in Florida. But Florida said toll roads long before Texas ever did.
Well, I understand
that.
I'm saying the new toll roads are not owned by the state anymore.
Well, Centra, they're selling it public-private partnerships. That's
exactly
what they're doing here in Florida. The Centra is the big name out there for all these toll roads, a foreign entity out of Spain and Australia. They finally put an office someplace here in the States to try to pretend that they were an American company, but they're not. But it's and they started selling off the interstate highways a while back. It was a pilot program, and, of course, where did they start it? Up in the Chicago area. I remember the first time I saw a toll on an interstate, and I thought, what in the world is this? Yeah, and it's nothing but a tax scam against people. And, you know, the same. And I remember right here in Orange County, at the time he was the Orange County chairman, Mel Martinez. People compare Marco Rubio to Mel Martinez a lot. And you may remember Mel Martinez was the HUD, Secretary of HUD or whatever it was, with George Bush up there. And I was talking to Mel Martinez about the toll roads. And he said, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying, because the toll taxes, it is more regressive, and it, you know, it costs more money to put the toll booths up and this and that compared to a gas tax. But the fact is, people will pay a toll, but they won't pay a gas tax. So the thing is, we can He didn't use the word sell, but you can get it passed to put a toll tax on, but you can't pass it to get a gas tax. So his attitude was people are too stupid to know what's good for them.
Well, if, and I'm not for toll roads at all, period, but to me, I would, if the state were the ones with the land, with the toll, collecting the toll, and this money was being used to pay that road off or was going to service another, you know, a good deed for the state, I might not yelp, and that's a very big might not. Yelp is loud. But when I know that I'm driving on a road that is built by a foreign entity, that the money they collect is not, none of it is going to my state or to towards anything in my state, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want a foreigners coming over here, and by foreigners, I mean people who do not live in this country. This country means nothing to them. I don't want them buying my land.
Well, and the thing is, literally, the government of the United States is selling off American assets, and this is at the federal and state level, selling off public assets, highway infrastructure, land, to foreigners. Obama's selling something over to China. I think it was one of these things that we all got stuck paying millions of dollars, some type of green company that's belly up, and now they're going to sell all the technology and everything else to China that we pay for.
Was that Solyndra?
This is wrong. What's that?
Was that Solyndra?
No, there's another one now. They've just started talking about this past few days. That's why I can't remember the name of it. I just remember they said it was a green company that China was going to buy. So the technology that you and I paid tax dollars for to bail out this company or to promote them is now going to be owned by China. And then there was also talk about that pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline or some pipeline, that they're going to sell the land and the resources to China to take our fuel, our natural resources, for them while they leave us hanging out to dry. This is because we have a bunch of traders. Treasonous traders in Washington, D.C. And, well, it's a good question for good old Rubio, too. That one I think he opposes. So, you know, Rubio doesn't do everything wrong, just most of it. I had to say that. I don't like Rubio. I don't like him from when he was in the Florida House.
Well,
what can I say?
The other guy. He's like the rest of them up there. You know, you want to think that maybe you can find someone that you can have faith in. But when you can't trust either side of his mouth that he's speaking out of, then it's hard to put any faith in anybody. Because he's given you too many reasons not to trust him.
Well, and I mean, I remember years ago, I really liked John McCain. I thought John McCain, you know, the maverick, he was out there fighting for us and this and that. And maybe back then he really was. Maybe he was more of a conservative. You know, I still see him being somewhat of a fiscal conservative, but nothing like he used to be. And I mean, and he wrote some book, and I thought, you know, I just remember it's like, wow, one time I really did like John McCain. But the more, and I don't know whether he changed over time, which maybe is what it is, but I have no use for what John McCain is, and he's supposed to be a conservative Republican too.
Well, I think he's got a good case to Alzheimer's. He forgot what party he belonged to.
I don't argue that point, but Rand Paul sent out a petition yesterday, the day before, about term limits. He said, if we have term limits for the president, why don't we have term limits for Congress? And you know, it's the absolute truth, because it's really no different. It's you get these people in there, and they stay there forever, and the political process is so corrupt that you can't get an honest person in there, or it's extremely difficult to get an honest person in there. So why don't we need term? I never in the past, I really had mixed emotions about term limits because technically you have an election, so you have the right to fire them. But the elections are so corrupt, the lobbyists who own Washington, D.C. are so corrupt that you have to have term limits. You have to do something different with it.
Well, this is not the first time. They've already had a bill presented for that, and I think Grandpa might have been the one that did it. It was either last year, year before last, kind to get term limits, and of course they didn't go anywhere. And this is not the first petition he's put out there.
No, just like a balanced budget too. I mean, these people, because they're so corrupt, because they're anti-American, they're worried about lining their own wallets and getting rich off of us, that they never do anything on behalf of the people. I mean, they're out there. It's, the same was true with the balanced budget. I mean, they're so afraid they'd actually have to live within the means and not be this craziness of increasing the budget by 8% every year as some cost of cost adjustment kind of index, whatever, and this kind of stuff. They prove that they don't care about the American people, and they prove they don't care about this country. They could have done tax reform. How long have we been talking about the fair tax? How long have we been talking about the fact that a income tax is truly unconstitutional? That's not what the 16th Amendment's about. So, we've got all these things, and they'll, you know, hem and holler when they're running for office. We care about this. Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's another perfect example. I mean, look at what he has done. He's supposed to be a conservative. No, he's not. You know, he's just, I don't know. Anything less than, I agree with the dog.
Well, I was trying to keep you still here, and I thought I had the microphone covered up.
No, but his dog is right. Go after him. Nato, sick him.
Bite him in the butt.
Every single one of them in the butt.
Well, you know, they don't want term limits because if they did that, then they wouldn't be able to go up there broke. Well, not broke, but, you know.
Less than wealthy.
Making it. And then walk out of there millionaires. You know, if they came up with term limits, that wouldn't happen, and that's why the majority of them run anyway.
Well, that's it. They go there for the money and the power. They do not go there out of a true devotion to public service. That's why we have to have term limits. We have to block these people from being lobbyists. What are they saying? Is like, what percentage of these people go into being lobbyists, or those who are lobbyists, what percentage of them were formerly insiders, Beltway insiders, Congress, representatives, senators, whatever. You know, the way the people have been sold out hung out to dry so bad, it's not funny. And I'm telling you, and that's exactly, I mean, it's really no different than that deal with Mark Baker up there and with the farms. The people that are in public office are destroying this country. And, of course, that's the message that Charlie had on his truck for a long time. He still has something similar to it. You know, God gave we the people America. The elected crooks or corrupt elected are destroying it. And that's exactly what it is. And anything less than some type of revolution, which I do believe we have a revolution going on right now. I'm not real sure how to define what type of revolution it is, but something's going on. And if the people don't come together as one, which is another thing that I have with Marco Rubio, but he's definitely not the only one. Take McCain, as you know, with the stupid things McCain just said. You know, and what I said last night in reference to the GOP, there's something seriously wrong if you can't embrace being an American. If you are so bound and determined that you are not going to be an American, that you're going to be a Latino or a Russian or a German or whatever else you might want to be, a Muslim, and you're not going to be an American, then we have to face the fact that our country has already fallen. We're not American.
Well, you don't hear. I've thought of this a lot of times, and you talk about it. You don't hear the Chinese walking around saying, I'm Chinese-American. You don't hear Pakistanis walking around saying, I'm a Pakistan-American. You don't hear, you know, the majority of the ethnic communities, you don't hear them saying that. That came after the blacks, and then once the blacks got on that bandwagon, then and I'm not going to call them Latinos, I'm sorry. The only reason I said what I said last night was being polite. The Mexicans, and I'm going to call them Mexicans because the majority of them come from Mexico. And if you're from Mexico, you're a Mexican. And then they decided that we were being ugly and disrespectful to them because we called them Mexicans.
Well, the only thing I'll say on that is when we say Hispanics, Latinos, I mean, technically Latinos are supposed to be South Americans, I think, but Hispanics. When you say Hispanic, which is the other piece that they keep saying on this, the stereotyping and the faction, they're trying to divide this culture up. You've got Cubans, you've got Puerto Ricans, you've got Mexicans, you've got South Americans, you know. So there's a lot under the Hispanic. And I think they try to say Hispanic more so than the Mexican. But it's the same thing. When you hear people say, well, I'm an Italian-American.
That's it.
In my case, a Portuguese-American. I have never gone around saying I'm a Portuguese-American. I'm an American.
If I walked around saying I'm an English-American, let someone grasp that one.
Yeah. No, the whole idea of being an American means you came from someplace else. Your heritage was someplace else. Native Americans are the only ones that, to me, deserve that name in the sense because they were the true original ones on this continent. Well, everybody else started someplace else. Canadians, whatever, you know. But it just all goes back to, are we going to be united as one people? Or are we going to have a bunch of idiots in public office do their best to divide us? And, I mean, I have been pushing. I have faxed. I'm not really called. I don't really waste my time calling Rubio's office too much anymore. But I do send a lot of faxes, so I have it in writing for what I send to them. I've really promoted, why don't you stop being a Latino and start being an American? If you would be an American and embrace America, you could bring people together. You could unite them.
Well, the question now in this country is becoming, are you really an American? Are you saying you're American? But are you doing anything to protect our Constitution? Are you doing anything to better America? Are you just taking?
We've been invaded. The silent invasion. This country has been invaded. And if the true blue Americans who profess to believe in the Constitution, who profess to believe in the Second Amendment, who do not believe in the Patriot Act, do not believe in NDAA and all this other nonsense that's going on, if all they do is sit there and watch the Super Bowl and don't pay attention to anything else, then that's why you're invaded, you know? Rome didn't burn in a day routine, and that's what this is all about. It's what the typical Americans, not most of those of us listening to this show, but the typical Americans who will do whatever it takes to watch that stupid football game this week. I guess it's Sunday. So the Super Bowl is on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Just for the record, I have no intentions of watching it.
Oh, I'll be there for both of us.
I won't. In the past, I used to watch it more for the commercials, but I don't, you know, it was, remember the, what was the costume malfunction with Jackson doing, you know, having a boob hangout or whatever it was.
No, that was on purpose. That was not a malfunction.
Well, it was, but that's what they called it, a costume malfunction or something stupid. I mean, I didn't watch that Super Bowl, so it was the Super Bowl before that was the last time I watched the Super Bowl.
Well, I watched it, but I didn't like the Jackson, so I didn't bother to watch that.
No.
I've got to tell you about a video that was sent to me today by a friend. It's a video of what's going on in Australia with their gun control.
Okay.
Over 6,000 guns have been collected. They may have said 60, but I'm going to say 6,000. They showed them. Long rifles, short rifles, you know, guns, period. And they show them cutting them up and all this had been collected. And now the law enforcement agencies over there are scratching their heads wondering why that theft has gone up 67%. Home invasions have gone up 27%. Murders have gone up, I forget how many percent. They can't figure out why all this is happening. This is an example of what happens when the crooks know that you do not have a gun at home to protect yourself with. Because the crook is going to have a damn gun. I don't care how many guns you collect. They're not going to walk in and hand you a gun. And if they don't get it there, they'll get it someplace else.
Well, and we talk about an invasion in this country, and, you know, just like the guy last night, the guy that called in last night was saying, they're recruiting the illegals to be the ones that they're going to give them the guns to blow us all away. And
oh,
maybe
exactly.
That's a little bit far stretch, but I don't know that that's totally not the case. But,
well, I don't think that they're recruiting the illegals. I think what they're doing is they're getting the illegals over on their side so that if it becomes the good guys against the bad guys, guess who's going to be where? Because Obama and the Democrats are giving them everything.
Well, and the Mexicans
come from a country to where they have to live poorly, because they have never had the guts enough or balls enough to make their country a more democratic society where every man has an equal right. So they run over here with no education, no work background, no history, and they run over here so they can get everything handed to them free. So when it comes down, if it ever comes down to having to pick a side to stand up for our Constitution or to fight for the freebies, what side do you think they're going to go to?
But my question is, who is going to be the ones who are armed? They keep trying to disarm the American people, and who are they where are the guns going to go? They're giving them to their, as Obama is manipulating the military, and I keep hoping and praying the military will never go against the American people. But the way he's handling it and the way he's manipulating it, I don't know what to expect. And the other part of that, you know, we've said for years, like, why do we, as Americans, keep playing all these crazy games with our neighbor south of us when we know they're so corrupt? Doesn't that make Americans just a bunch of hypocrites, the country as a whole, a bunch of hypocrites because of the games and the way we play games with Mexico, acting like they're all our good neighbor? They're not our good neighbor. They're evil. What they do to their own people is evil. Canada's
well, we
different.
Have to realize, Sally, is that up until the Internet, the majority of Americans did not realize what was going on between our government and Mexico. We did not realize that they were playing these games. We didn't learn all this until the Internet came about, and we were finally getting the truth over the Internet as to what was happening.
Well, on the Mexican side, I can say that's true. There's definitely been a lot more information. But, you know, in Florida, we had all the illegals coming in from Haiti and from Cuba. Once they were on the sand, that's all they had to do, and they were citizens. We were being invaded there.
Well, that's not supposed to be the case either. Once they were on the sand, and if they spread their legs and had a baby, yeah, the baby became a citizen.
Now, that was part of the time when I believe it was Carter was in office at the time. I don't want to say the history wrong, but there was a time when, because they were fleeing Cuba, if they got on soil here in the U.S., they were allowed to be citizens. And then it was, I don't know, I'm going to say 5, maybe 10 years now, where people in Florida started getting a little bit louder about it. And then the Coast Guard was picking them up off of the coast before they had a chance to hit the sand. And, Charlie, if you remember the exact on that, do you remember that? The history of that happening?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm stating it right.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you've got governors like Perry. He's going to lie to you. You have to remember, Bush was a president here in Texas as well. I mean, like president, a governor here in Texas too. And what it boiled down to is that the cattlemen and the farmers and the ranchers in the state of Texas promoted keeping illegals here because they work so damn cheap.
They do
and
not.
The voters have helped feed into it.
Charlie, what are you saying?
They did not become citizens. They became political residents. In other words, we didn't deport them, but they have to go through citizenship.
You know, police refugees or something like that.
Yeah, I know. They were political refuge here from Cuba. We wouldn't send them back once they touched our shores.
Right. They were legal.
They're illegal, but they were given some kind of a, not an amnesty, but some kind of a right to be here to work towards citizenship because of a, if they went back, they were feared for their lives.
Political sanction, I think they call it, or something like that.
It wasn't the Muriel Boldus. That was done by Castro.
Well, did you hear the other day? I heard on, I think it was Hannity. They quit giving the U.S. troops breakfast in the mornings.
What was that? I haven't heard that. What? Say that again.
Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The military no longer gets fed breakfast.
What's that about? I don't recall hearing anything about that.
Well, I heard it yesterday. It was on Hannity. And in order to try to cut costs, they are no longer getting fed breakfast.
What I heard.
Oh, my. Oh, I'm telling you. We are in such bad trouble. We are in such bad shape.
Congress gets an $86,000 raise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do these people do this stuff? I mean, how do they look in the mirror?
Well, if you're if you're
a
progressive wanting to get rid of this country and get rid of its military, it's not hard for them to do it.
Charlie?
What?
I thought you started to say something.
Yeah, mute me.
Oh. Okay, that's easy enough. Okay. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, of course, I don't know on that particular case. What did the Republicans do? Hopefully they were opposing this. But I'm trying to figure, it's like, I just don't understand. I mean, these people, you're the One World Order people. And I guess, is every single Democrat a One World Order person? I don't truly know that that's the case, no more than I believe every Republican is a conservative. So when you think about the masses, the people who are up in D.C., how did we manage to get so many people in Washington, D.C. that hate this country?
Well, we elected them because they lied to
us. Well, we didn't elect them. I mean, we didn't elect them. The process is too corrupt for us to elect anybody.
Well, look at this idiot they're putting up for Secretary of State. Look at the other guy that they're, I don't know who he is. He's an ex-senator or ex-congressman. And I forget what his role is going to be. Nobody likes him.
Hagel.
Yeah. And you know Obama, the only reason Obama put him up there is because he is not an American.
Well,
and I mean, he doesn't stand for what we stand for. And that's the only reason Obama is putting him in there. Just like John Kerry.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Republicans say on that. But I believe when it came to Kerry, if I remember the number, I think they said only nine Republicans opposed him. The rest all supported him, and Marco Rubio also supported Kerry. He voted to confirm Kerry.
Well,
I think they said only nine opposed him.
But Kerry is not, and John Kerry never was, and wouldn't have voted for him when he ran for office. Kerry is not. He's liberal.
Yeah.
He's a progressive.
Well, and of course, all the various things, you know, I've heard so many different things with what he did in Vietnam and everything else, and you never, sometimes you really try to dissect the truth versus the exaggerations and whatever else. But he obviously was anti-war, and he never, anti-American in that Vietnam War. And he was over there, and you know, if you're, I don't know. It was such a crazy time and such a crazy war, and I was much younger at those days. I didn't really understand what was going on. But what Kerry did seemed to be borderline treason, too, that he was a traitor. Yeah, nobody did anything about it, and now we're going to have him be representing us as the Department of State.
Exactly.
And it's like, that's pretty scary, but then again, look who we just had there.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to be in that impeach Obama rally with my bells on.
Yep. Yep. And I think it was Charlie who was talking yesterday, and it was you. You were asking, Morton, why haven't these people taken action to impeach Obama?
Right. And he gives me a BS answer, and that's exactly what it is. And I hate to say this, but the man's a rhino. He gave me this BS answer that, well, they finally got evidence. Crap. There's evidence floating all over everything that this man has done. They could have already filed impeachment papers against him.
Many a times. And they could have forced him to...
And wait and see what happens if he appeals. Doesn't matter what happened. He was found guilty.
Right. Well, and there's something wrong. We can't see his records. His public records, his school records should be public. Because that would also confirm that he was a foreign student.
Well, how can he get away with locking his records, period? He's the president of the United States. How can he get away with locking his records away, period? That tells you the man has something to hide.
Exactly. Why is he hiding it? And why are they not more persistent? But, again, it's because you have... They circle the wagons. They're so afraid that if they do anything about Obama, then all of a sudden somebody's going to do something about what they're doing, and they just circle the wagons and they protect their own interests while they destroy this country.
Well,
I'm
sorry, I didn't say this last night, and I meant to because it was in the list of things that I had said I was going to bring up. That the GOP, the Republican Party. The senators and the congressmen up there that are afraid to impeach Obama or take moves against Obama because he is sitting there illegally, the ones that are doing it because they're afraid that there will be riots, that the blacks will rise up, I've got news for them. They better wake up. They're not going to have a black riot. They're going to have a white riot, which is something they haven't ever had in this country since slavery, since, you know, the Vietnam. But they're going to wake up, and the American public's going to come after them, and they're going to want to know why.
Well, I think this Second Amendment stuff is one of the biggies that's going to, I mean, is it going to be the ultimate straw that breaks the camel's back that is going to get the civil war, civil unrest, civil disobedience, whatever it is, really out there in gangbusters, you know? And when that happens, yeah, we will be restoring that Constitution. And those people who are in public office today are going to they're going to be unemployed with no compensation.
The conservatives have got it had a belly full. And you know, as a conservative, you're one and I'm one. I say I'm a conservative with a touch of liberal. But when you get your belly full of something, you quit being nice. And I believe the American public is at the point, we're damn tired of being nice. I don't care what color the skin is.
We are. If the critical mass. Do we have critical mass, which is that 3-5%, same as with the revolution, who are going to say enough is enough? And the other part of it is the critical mass on the other side. Do they have critical mass on the other side that are so determined to be a communist country that they can take us down? I don't know.
Well, I don't care if they've got critical mass or not. I don't care if they're mad. They haven't seen mad till they've seen me mad. It's like my daughter said, you become a person I don't even want to be next to when you get that mad.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I'm hoping that we have enough really pissed off mad Americans who are not going to take it anymore. It's freedom isn't free. You got to defend it every day. You got to be ready to defend it every day.
Well, this generation, my generation, my dad's generation is not going to do it. Some of them are going to help, like Charlie. But this generation, my generation has to, and your generation, we have to do something about this. Or my great-grandchildren, my grandchildren might accidentally spend a few more years in America, you know, where they're a little bit free. But my great-grandchildren will not. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, then, like I told my daughter, y'all better find you an island somewhere.
Right. You better find yourself an island. And, you know, you're talking about a conservative. Well, first off, I truly try to focus on I am an American, so I try not to get myself into anything that relates to either the Democrats or the Republicans, but I am an American who believes in the Constitution. What a concept. If I'm going to be called anything, it's typically, you know, a constitutionalist is what I prefer to be called.
Well, I can be a conservative. You can be a conservative and not be a Republican. Now, conservatives come in all different rations.
Oh, I know, but the buzzword, when people say conservative, they automatically put into that.
They take their buzzwords and stick them where the sun don't shine.
But constitutionalist is really more what I see myself. And if you're really going to say anything about the political parties, if you're going to say what was I most closely aligned, truly it would probably be closer to the Libertarian Party than anything else. Because even though in former Libertarian parties, the... because it's kind of changed and mellowed out in certain respects, the true core Libertarian Party was no government at all. Well, that's a little bit extreme, so I don't go to the extreme of no government at all routine, but I am closer probably to a Libertarian than anything else.
Well, I don't want to get to any party. I'll be a conservative from now to hell comes over, because I believe in manners. I believe in being polite to other people. I believe in treating people as you would want to be treated. I believe in the Ten Commandments, so that makes me a conservative.
Well, and I'm not arguing that point. I was just saying, if you talk political parties, it would be that. But I, as I said, I'm an American.
Yeah, I'm a
conservative. I'm an American who believes in the Constitution, who believes in the rights of the people, and believes you know, that everybody has a right to pursue happiness, and unless they're doing something to bother you, you leave them alone. And it goes back to kind of what you said, treat the golden rule.
Oh, and I believe I can play Dixie any damn time I want to.
Yes.
Well, if they can in Pennsylvania, I can here in Texas. Screw that. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, I did.
We're not quite sure where you stand on that. You want to explain that again? I'm joking. No. Well, and actually, I was going to make the comment as you were talking about manners and being treating everybody as you want to be treated yourself. Well, I guess I'm guilty of probably not being Ms. and manners when it comes to these crooked, corrupt elected public officials, because I truly am sick of being nice and playing nice. Being nice and playing nice, I did that years ago, and I mean, it was when I first got involved with the transportation issue, when I saw what they were doing, and that's little by little how I got into this whole thing. And I and truthfully, when my brother was having this problem, and we were trying, this was a time we had governor of the state of Florida, had Governor Graham, Bob Graham out there. And I remember writing a letter to his office, and, you know, and I just remember people saying, you get more bees with honey, or what, you know, the stupid thing about that.
Exactly.
I'm like, that sounds all, that in most of the time, most occasions, that is true. When you deal with people, to treat people with respect and to be polite, excuse me, and I do that a lot. But when it comes to crooked politicians, when you are polite, they'll pacify you. They'll, that's such a wonderful thing. We're so, just like the stupid letters that you get. I am so glad you called, you know, thank you for contacting the office. We really care about what you think. I mean, I read these things and I want to puke, because they're so superficial, and all they are is pacifying you and sending you a rubber stamp. Yes, we got your mail, now get lost.
Well, Sally, you have to learn how to do like us Southern women do. I mean, I can tell you to kiss my butt and kiss you and tell you off with a smile on my face, and you think I just paid you a compliment.
Well, I want you to go do that. Say anything to good old Governor Perry over there and get him to stop those toll roads.
I guess I will one of these days if I ever get this brother of mine taken care of. Perry don't even want to talk.
I mean, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm picking.
No, I'm saying, just like this, dear Mr. Perry, you know how you're really hurting us when you do these toll roads, or, you know, you'd really help the people of Texas and all Americans if you would not keep selling off the toll roads to the foreign corporations. Go ahead.
I might use those words, but guess what? They wouldn't have quite so much honey dripping off of them. But I'd have
that's my point.
I'd have a smile on my face the whole time I was saying it.
Well, that's why I want to know, how would you write, tell me exactly what your letter would good old Perry to stop the abuse of what he's doing with the highway system there.
Now, what I put on a piece of paper and what I do in front would be two different things. See, I can't win a lot of battles on paper because I'm too blunt and to the point. He can't see my smile as I'm writing.
Oh, then you're not writing right, because you can write with a smile. Come on now. The tone at which you write, yes. I mean, I've done a lot of writing. I do a fair amount of written communication. So there's a nice way to put that out there.
I write, I'm not like that. I'm to the point. Bare-knuckled, and I call a spade and a heart of heart, and you don't see any honey dripping out off the words.
Well, I'm having a hard time thinking that you're going to be as politically correct and polite as what you're saying if you were standing in front of Perry face-to-face.
No, not on paper, and I'm not going to be politically correct standing in front of his face, and I'll tell him. You can take politically correct and put it where the sun don't shine, because with Texans, it don't mean anything to us. It is a lie. And then I would start. We would get those ground rules put down right first rail out of the box. Don't expect correct out of me, because you're not going to get it.
Just pretend that I'm Governor Perry. Imagine that I'm Governor Perry, and you were talking, and you're going to tell me what I should do about transportation.
Okay.
I want to see how
Perry,
you are.
Are you ready?
Governor Perry,
nice to meet you. My name is Doreen Taft. I'm a homegrown Texas woman. I was born here in Texas. I grew up here in Texas, and I will die here in Texas. I am a second great niece to William Howard Taft. I have a few things I'd like to talk to you about. First, before we get started, I want to let you know I do not believe in politically correct. I do not play those games. I would like to know why you, as governor of this state, feel like you have the right to sell our land off to foreign entities to come in here and put up toll roads that the people have told you they do not want. But you insist on doing it anyway. Who gave you the right?
Well, because I'm elected as the governor of the state, the people of Texas have given me the right to oversee transportation. And I happen to believe this is a good investment. I happen to believe that this is the best way to pay for roads because we don't have any other money. We don't have enough money for the roads, and tolls are a user fee.
Well, Governor Perry, you may have been elected, but when the vote went to the voters and you put it to them that whether or not if we wanted toll roads, we told you no. But you found a way to get around that by selling the land to a foreign country. The next thing is we have billions of dollars in a rainy day fund that you want to take out and spend on other things. You won't spend it on education. So why are you not spending it on our roads instead of trying to build toll roads?
Okay, well, and I'm going to, me as Perry will respond to that in a moment, but it looks like Charlie wants to get back into this discussion.
Oh, good.
Let's see. Okay, Charlie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you want to say something?
Yep. Where, yeah. Okay, where is this executive orders, right? You guys brought them up just a little while ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where is there in the Constitution that says an executive order can supersede the Constitution?
There's not. That they passed that back when, I don't remember who was president, may have been Bush.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature passed that the president could use executive orders in times when they could not get enough together to vote on what it was that needed to be done for this, to save in time of war or something like that, is when
right.
they did that.
Okay. Now, I know that a law becomes a law if Congress votes for a submits it to the president, and he fails to sign it, and after a certain period of time, it becomes a law. Now, I'm curious about, did our Congress go ahead and make the executive order law, hand it to the president, and then it became law, which superseded the Constitution, thus giving the president the right to override the Constitution, which means the executive order law that Congress wrote would be a violation of the constitutional and the protection of the citizens if the presidents are allowed to circumvent the Constitution for any period of a time other than in an emergency for like a few months, a few years, or something like that. You get the point?
Yeah, that's what it was written for. And whoever the president was that it was written for, I think it was back during the, I don't remember if it was Vietnam War or if it was during Bush. But
okay, well, what I'm saying is we now have something to go on. If they don't impeach, and this is something you might want to bring up to your group regarding the impeach Obama thing, add a little caveat to it. Impeach Obama or we impeach Congress?
I think we ought to impeach Obama by executive order.
Right. Actually, he should be taken out of service right now because of the suspicion that he has violated the Constitution. He did it twice now. Actually, somebody said there's 26 violations.
There is.
But we need to quote those 26 violations somehow and get them out there and say, where's the media? Remember 99-390? That FCC 99-390? It seems to me like Fox News should be mentioning that, but it seems like they don't want to say anything about it.
Well,
and Glenn Beck is looking for a network, because I heard the way he was talking that he's thinking about buying a network or setting a network up that would go in competition with ABC, CBS, and NBC, because a lot of people are telling him to.
He's got one that's being shown on the Dish Network now. You can't get it unless you have Dish.
No, but he's talking about going mainstream, getting the right to do it, just like Fox 35, ABC, CBS, NBC, using the people's airwaves.
Right. He's testing this that channel or that idea right now on Dish Network as one of their programs. In other words, one of their channels.
Well, you know, if we got enough people to go ahead and send a complaint to the FCC about the failure of ABC, CBS, and NBC to bring the news about Benghazi and all the other things that they failed, and say that this is not the news. They have failed to keep us informed as to what's going on with our war and what's happening on with our foreign, our allies such as Israel. On ABC,
yeah.
CBS, NBC. We want their license revoked.
Well, the other thing, Charlie, yesterday on Glenn Beck, yesterday morning on Glenn Beck, they played five different outtakes from five different things that happened. One, the guy that shot the black dude with the hoodie on and all that. NBC.
Oh, Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. NBC took the tapes that they had from the 911 call and everything, and they edited those. There's
proof.
Yeah,
we found that out. See, that is a violation of SEC Rule 99-390, but we have to go ahead and complain to the FCC and say, we want NBC's license removed for their editing out.
Yeah, well, he had five different examples of the edited tape and then the actual version of the tape that they used on their news broadcast.
Well,
let me get one thing in here real quick. Well, actually, two things. One, when it comes to the executive orders, my understanding is the country is under a state of emergency, and they have played games. I mean, it's been under the state of emergency since way back when Clinton was in office. And whatever, anything they use as an excuse to put a state of emergency, which
9/11 brought a state of emergency.
Well, Clinton was under a state of emergency too. He had some other stupid thing. So they play a lot of games with that, so they can write all these stupid executive orders. That piece ties into that somehow. And this other thing with Glenn Beck, I think Glenn Beck was trying to get mainstream, as in the local channel stuff, not having to pay to go into cable. Because right now he's out there at Dish's cable, but I think he was trying to get onto the local airwaves, and they're probably harassing him with the FCC.
That's right. Yeah, I'm saying we need to go ahead and start filing complaints against 99-390 violations and get a bunch of people to do that. Because if people don't know that, they can go ahead and send a complaint about ABC's failing to bring us the news, or CBS or NBC. And if we got a bunch of people to do it, who knows? We might be able to get one of those, Glenn Beck, to take over NBC, CBS, or ABC. I don't care which one he takes over, but it'd be great. Then we would actually have somebody who would be working with and in conjunction with Fox News.
What is that rule again? Because what I'll do is make up some flyers to take with me.
99-390. Read it, too, because at the very first page, it tells an awful lot, and it highlights that the people rely on the three channels and have relied on them to bring them the news, because that is they become addicted to getting the news on those three channels. This is not Barbara, is not Diane Sawyer talking about how to buy American. It is, the news is not about how to cook something or whatever. But she does more personal and social things than she does anything about the news.
Or whether
it's
not
world news anymore on hers.
Or whether or not Beyonce lip syncs the national anthem.
Right, yeah, that is not world news. That should be a short, not the whole damn program. Okay, gotta go. Good night.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I can drop some flyers and go to that rally and hand them out about the FCC rule, and just a short jib about what it's about, and then use those five examples for people to look up, and they could file complaints.
Yeah, if you go back in the archives, we had Tina Trenner, which I still have her contact, so if you want to send me some stuff, I'll make sure I get it to her. She was in broadcasting, and she was the one who first told us about it, and say, if you go out there and go after the license of the affiliates to do this, but you have to be ready to take over the network kind of thing. So it was the thing, you had to have some money if you're going to do this. And she was actually trying to get a campaign started to do that. So if you got something like that, and now with Glenn Beck out there, maybe to put that in front of her, say Glenn Beck is an option to go out there and replace one of these networks, because that's what he's trying to do. The other thing I wanted to mention, I was going back to that state of emergency, just for the record, on November 14th, 1994, President Clinton issued an executive order that placed the United States on national emergency footing. FEMA could at any time now assume all functions of government. And then down below, they're making the comment, the New World Order is coming. Are you ready? We've been under a national state of emergency for a long time, and they do that just so they can play those games with those executive orders.
Yeah, I think that is the executive order thing first started with George W. Bush, the first one.
No, I'm saying that's not the case. Clinton, President Clinton was there before Bush.
Was that
Bush.
When they passed that?
You're correct. When they first gave, whenever they first gave the right to do this, I'm not sure when they passed the right, but Clinton was using it too. So they always come up with some reason for a state of emergency so they can do whatever they want.
State of emergency we're under now.
Oh, we're still under a state of emergency.
I said, I don't know what, other than the fact we've got someone sitting up there in office that's trying to turn us into communists.
Well, one world order, that's exactly it. But unfortunately, since 9/11, they can always use that as their excuse, some fear or some attack now, which to me, we shouldn't be under a state of emergency either. That would be another one to ask any of them out there, any of them in public office. Rubio, Paul, Rand Paul, McCain, whoever. Do we really need to be under a state of emergency to give the president full control of this country?
We talked about that.
Like, what are you talking about, huh?
God.
Oh, my goodness. It's such a crazy world. That's all I can say. It truly is. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the Glenn Beck, that is what we need. We need to get Glenn Beck or someone like him or whatever to be out there as a true competition to the mainstream, lamestream media that we have today.
I cannot believe that Glenn Beck does not already know about this.
Well, I think he does, but what I'm saying is I think the FCC, for him to get a channel on cable with FCC and whatever else, it's a little bit different than doing it on the mainstream like NBC down here at the local, level.
No,
I'm guessing.
I understand that.
No,
I'm saying,
my point is they're hassling him more on one than the other.
Yeah, but if he knows, in other words, I can't believe that he doesn't know about this 99-930, and he's got the tapes to prove the NBC edited those tapes and put them out there to make them sound like they wanted to, and he knows this is illegal. Why isn't he already doing this?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't know that we don't know who he is. It's not like he tells us everything he's doing. So he may be doing something in the background, and he's forever saying, I've got other things coming.
Now, this is
he's
true.
So my guess is he may be doing it. There may be something going on in the background doing it. I hope so.
I may drop him an email and see. I used to know someone that worked that took news to him all the time because she'd email me about something I had put on my blog and would ask me for more information, and I would give it to her, and I can't remember who it is now. Oh, crap.
Yeah, you're right there now with Glenn Beck there in Texas, huh?
Yeah, well, he's up in Dallas, and I'm down here in San Antonio. But I may just send him an email and ask him about this.
Hey, how long does it take to drive to Dallas?
6 hours.
Mm-hmm, that's not too bad.
Five hours.
5 hours? Depends on whether you use a toll road, right?
Oh, I won't use a toll road. I'll drive.
Neither do I.
I'll wait to keep using a toll road.
too bad Charlie isn't here again. Next time when we're on the next show, when Charlie's out there, you have to make sure you tell him that. Because I won't use the toll roads either. I mean, there's been times when I've been traveling through different states when I really didn't have much of a choice because I didn't know anything else to do, but especially around, Delaware, and stuff. So I didn't really have a choice. But here in Florida, I never do. Some people get annoyed with me because I won't take the toll roads. And some, I don't believe in them. I'm not going to support what I don't believe in. I said it's a scam against us. I'm not going to support it.
Would
so it's a way, yeah. The fact
in Austin, they have a toll road. Now, if you get your road map out and look at it, they have a toll road you can get on that takes you 5 miles out of the way, costs you $2 to use, when if before you get to it, you make a left-hand turn and go down this state highway, and it's right there. What was the point of the tow rope?
Not to make somebody money, but not you. To make the make people broke and somebody else money.
I saw that.
But,
how stupid can you get? The people are just using it like crazy. Well, when they get off of it, they got to backtrack to get to where they're going that they would have drove past in the first place if they didn't use the other highway. Stupid.
I agree. And my own case here, there's, you know, if I don't use the toll road, yes, I'm going to get a few more traffic lights and that stuff. But I said, you know, that's whatever. You know, if you truly believe that what they're doing is wrong, you shouldn't promote it.
Are you in that damn hurry that you can't? You have to stop at a couple of more traffic lights? Are you going to die from that? It's like I told a girl the other day, she's trying to cut in front of me in front of line. I said, sweetie, you don't have nothing but time on your hands. Why are you in such a hurry to be so rude? Well, I mean, I said, well, I just wasted all your hurry-up time. Get back behind me where you belong.
Well, remind me to tell you a story about when my mom and I went shopping, grocery shopping. She's passed away now, but we really had it's a good story on that one. But before we go there, what I was asking you was, it takes you 6 hours to go to Glenn Beck. Are you ever going to try to go to one of his shows and be in one of his audiences? That'll give you a chance to ask the question.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Because at one time I thought he walked on water,
mm-hmm.
but now I think he treads it, doggy paddle.
Well,
because he doesn't.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
He doesn't. There's so many things like the Obama not being a natural born citizen that he does not touch with a 10-foot pole. And there's so many other things that he could be helping push that he doesn't. And sometimes I think he's got his own agenda.
Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to that kind of stuff, first off, there's nobody who's going to do everything exactly the way I like, so I'm going to forget trying to find anybody who's perfect, or even close to perfect, as far as what I believe on various things. But at the same time, when I think about him or Ron Paul or any of these people, the ones that seem to align most closely to what I happen to believe in, they can't do everything. So they have to pick their battles, if you will, and try to see what is going to be the most effective. And I think, look how long it took him to do the Agenda 21 book to try to get that, you know. So I don't know. I don't know that I can criticize his approach, because I don't know what the right approach would be, because there's so many things that need so much done. So I don't really know what the right answer or the best approach from someone in his position to actually do something. I mean, I think the fact that he started on CNN, started to get the word out, and of course they rejected him, and he went over to Fox, and he said too much at Fox, so now he's over here doing this. And I mean, I give him credit for being one of the few to speak about a lot of things and put a lot more out there on the airwaves, trying to report the truth. The question is, will he be able to stay on that path more so than what we see these others? Just like, you know, Ron Paul was in Congress for 30 years. He was never corrupted by the process. He never caved in to start to say that, yes, the Fed was good. You know, those core principles he went in with, he left with. And people, he voted no more than anybody else in Congress. So
well, I agree with you on that. And now, UN Agenda 21 was number one on my list, and then the unnatural born citizen, because with the election, you know, he had 4 years with the election to educate the people about UN Agenda 21. And sustainable development and the UN. And I have to ask myself, did he not do that because he spent all that time getting his book written so he could make money on it?
I don't know. And I mean, again, on that kind of stuff, trying to say what the best approach was. And Glenn Beck, who is now out there openly saying, and I mean, I heard him say it within this past week, that the GOP is gone. It's hopeless. Forget it. he himself said he was moving more and more towards the libertarians, even though he makes all sorts of jokes about heroin and stuff like that, because he's not truly that kind of a extreme libertarian, if you will. But he's out there. He's totally rejected the GOP at this point. But when I think about, he was out there pushing for Romney, because and I think he was just one of those who truly believed this is the best chance we have. It's either Romney or Obama, and so he was trying to rally behind Romney, even though he disagreed with a lot of what Romney said, and he openly admitted that. So, and I guess you take it, in his position, where it was his ability to put information out there in reference to the election, would it have been better for him to rally behind a third party or somebody else, or was it in the best interest of the country for him to rally behind Romney against Obama? Now, you know, in my own case, I refused to vote for Romney because I didn't believe in what he did. I don't think he was much better in many respects than Obama because of Romney care and everything else. But many people thought that Romney was definitely a better option, and so they rallied behind because of this two-party mentality. So was Glenn Beck wrong to rally behind Romney even though he didn't truly believe he was great?
Well, I mean, he did what I did.
Mm-hmm.
He was behind the black dude that they took down. Then
right.
He was behind the woman that was running, and they took her down. And
yep.
Rather than support Obama, and rather than not support anyone, he chose the lesser of the two evils. And that's the only reason I voted for Romney, not because I thought he was better, but because I did not think he would walk us down the path to socialism as fast as Obama. I didn't think he'd use executive orders to push through everything he wants to do. Was Obama's going to do that? The gun control is going to go through, everything's going to go through that he wants to go through, because he's going to use executive orders.
Well, the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, that's...
most people voted for Romney, or I shouldn't say most. Many people voted for Romney over some other third-party candidate, as in Gary Johnson or whoever, because they saw him as the lesser of two evils, because people's mindset is, we're only going to elect either a Democrat or Republican. We can't vote
for
anybody else.
No.
Because that's what the system has been.
I don't agree with that. The only reason I didn't vote third party was because I knew third party would not beat Obama.
But you just said the same thing I did. People are stuck on these two parties.
But
they were
convinced. There's a choice out there to sound like to vote. If you didn't, and myself, if I had not voted, I would not be able to look in the mirror.
No, I'm saying the overall concept. Time and time again, and we've talked about this on the show before, the attitude is you're wasting your vote if you don't vote for either Obama or Romney, because those are the only two who have a chance, and we can't. If you vote for anybody else, you're totally wasting it. Now, and I'm saying from Glenn Beck's perspective, okay, from the role that he had with that media, could he have gone out there taking the power that he had behind that media to say, here's another alternative, Gary Johnson or whoever else, the constitutionalist, Virgil Good was the other guy, to say, here's somebody who actually is a constitutionalist. But he didn't, my own opinion. He didn't because he knows voting for the lesser of two evils, he really thought there was maybe a chance to get Romney, where he thought there was no chance to do the others. But he may have truly believed in one of the others more so than he did Romney.
Okay, but you have to, Sally, you're going to have to, if we're going to have three parties, and I don't think we ever have, I have voted for third-party candidates before running for president. I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular case, and I think maybe the reason Glenn Beck didn't promote a third party was he felt exactly as I did. We don't have enough people that think like you and I, and he does, that it would do any good. If he was going to promote a third party, he'd have to start now for the next presidential election.
Okay, I'm in total agreement. You and I agreed on that. But I'm just saying, in reference to, you say you
you're not sure what Glenn Beck's goal is out there, whether he's just trying to make money off the Agenda 21 book or this or that. But I think he's out there attempting to plan his battles and what was the best approach. So I don't know that he was really strictly trying to push a book at Christmas time, whatever, as much as he's trying what he believes to be the best approach, which I'm just comparing it to the election. And
no,
it wasn't necessarily that he was a super, super supportive of all the wonderful things Romney stood for, but he believed it was the best battle at that time.
I understand that, but I don't understand why in the 4 year, in other words, my argument, my stand is, from looking at it, I don't know how long he had started on the UN Agenda 21, but the UN Agenda 21 had been out there for a very long time already. And if you're going to educate the public and try and take the vote away from someone, and I had the book that I was going to put out that would educate people towards what was going on in this country, I would have put it out before December. So that's what makes me wonder why wait so long to get it out there.
I can't answer what he was thinking that way. Why didn't he have the Agenda 21 book put out there 5 years ago? I don't know.
Exactly.
Because he knew about it five years ago. But at the same time, you know, when you think about, as you and I well know, what happens when you try to tell people about this thing 5 years ago, well, you were even seen as more of a loon. They still call some of us loons because we are conspiracy nutcases, whatever.
Yeah,
but more and more people are realizing that there's something to it.
Right, but if he had done it 5 years ago, see, then by this time enough people who were interested or curious enough would have read it and would have had the option. A lot of people are calling us loons because there's never been anything out there written about it. But he put something out there in writing. I mean, there's some you can get them off the Internet, but I won't buy those Internet books. No way.
When it comes to Agenda 21, 5 years ago, most people wouldn't have listened. They wouldn't. They would have rejected it. They would never think. You know, to me, they would not have given it the time of day. I don't think he would have stood a chance. He could have put it out there, but not many would have taken up on it. It wouldn't have done the had the same impact, if you will, as what I think putting it out later. Not that I think he should have waited this long. I would have liked to have seen him put it out a couple years ago. For him to be talking about Agenda 21 once a week on his show.
Right.
Instead of from time to time. I do wish he would push one world order. Here it is, put the history lesson out there. Something every week about Agenda 21, the new world order, one world order. I really do wish he would do that.
I'll rename it. The new going thing for Agenda 21 in the UN, you don't use those terms anymore, sustainable development. Because
right.
Those two words that's being pushed so much on TV, on the networks, and the papers, they don't use the UN Agenda 21. So a lot of people don't really put the two together.
Well, exactly, and that's the other part. And, I mean, when I hand stuff out, I have it say both, Agenda 21, sustainable development.
Exactly.
Put the two things. But now they're coming up with some other new title for it. They're calling it something else now, too.
And also people have to – that's like progressive insurance. I walked into a store today that sells cell phones, and now we have a progressive telephone company. And what people need to realize is that progressive is the terminology, the word that is now being used for communism, communist. And that's what they've got to understand. They'll have guts enough to put the truth out there, so they're covering it up to get people to accept it.
Exactly. I would not argue that point at all. And, again, to that degree, I think Glenn Beck has been instrumental in putting the Constitution out there a lot.
Right.
I think he's done more to actually put history and the facts about Woodrow Wilson and things like that that I know I never really learned in school. You know, history was very high level.
Or if you did.
And not into, yeah, go ahead.
I said, if you did, you forgot it.
Well, it definitely wasn't given the importance or significance. And it was like, okay, let's memorize who was the first president. And, you know, and of course, back then I didn't really understand how schools could be progressive either and how they taught.
Well, but also, if you were like me, I enjoyed reading about it, but did I really care about it? No.
Well, and I think a lot of that is because of the way it gets taught. It's taught in the sense that you have to memorize these things. Well, it's Independence Day. You know, you memorize things, but the way it's taught isn't to make you engage in what happened. So you can't truly appreciate what happened. Where if you took the history of NASCAR racing, some kid would really get into it and become part of it in a sense and get engaged and learn every single detail, just like some kids doing football and baseball and other things. You know, they get into the history of it because it's interesting. But when it came to history of the country, it's presented in such a way, it's like almost like torture. It's the way it's taught.
Well, now, I got into the North Against the South, but I love the song. And right now, I'm trying to find a ringtone to go on my phone, and you'll never guess what it is. Dixie. I thought that'd be a nice day. Stand in a crowd and have my phone go off playing Dixie. I'd love it.
Well, I was doing some work up in Pennsylvania and near the D.C. area, in that whole region for a while. And I would drive back and forth between Pennsylvania and D.C. and go across that Mason-Dixon line, and then you go right by Gettysburg. And
I went up there and visited a friend of mine and walked into a restaurant. So now we were waiting for one of the bus tours to take us up there. And there they had the Dixie flag all over everything, Dixie music playing, and selling all this memorabilia. And it's against the law in Texas. I'm going,
well,
what kind of damn deal is this? And I let them know. I was mad about it.
Crazy. Well, I was up in Gettysburg. I went through I took the road tour through Gettysburg and through the National Military Park. And it really is very interesting. If you haven't been there, it's really something to go see. And because they did leave so much of it, you know, obviously they fixed it up for a museum. Like you're driving through a museum in
right.
the sense of what happened in Gettysburg. And so I found it really interesting. But there was some group that was trying to destroy all that and knock down some of the, you know, the historic Gettysburg town and
right.
start building it all up and all this other crap. I think they did block some of it. I don't know what the latest is, but
yeah.
But it was really something interesting. I was very glad that I went through and saw that.
Yeah, I went through that too.
Yep. And that's been the, you know, my job in the past few years has allowed me to do quite a bit of traveling to different parts. Memphis, I was out there, didn't spend some time in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, got to go to Graceland and all that stuff. But, I mean, there's a lot of history throughout that whole region when it came to the war, so. So I found it very interesting to do.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was, yeah, go ahead.
But it was hard for me to sit there and listen to it because in some ways we rode in one of those double-decker buses, and in some ways the way the story was told, I wanted to put a sign on my back and say, hey, guess what, I'm from Texas. If you're going to tell it right. But I didn't. I was a good girl.
Well, I had I did my own tour in the car, and I had a CD with the an audio that would say, the next stop is this, and then it would explain what's going on with it. And, I mean, I think we all know, no matter how careful or whatever you want to say, history gets recorded slightly different. And here we have a president who wants to rewrite history altogether and totally ignore George Washington.
Oh,
totally
hell not. Not just the president. Texas State Board of Education is rewriting history.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So look at what we have going on there, too. So it's all pretty disgusting to me. Absolutely disgusting. And I sure hope that Americans will be Americans. which kind of, we only got about 5 minutes left here. But going back to last night, it was interesting. You can tell that Morton Blackwell, he is a true believer in the GOP. And I guess I'll kind of give him a little bit of slack in the sense that he talked about being involved in the earlier days when it truly was a conservative party. And I can only imagine what it's like from his perspective to see it decline the way it has to what it has become. And he's just one of those who thinks he can revive it. And it would be nice if it would be what it's supposed to be. But in my own opinion, I stick with George Washington and believe the political parties are definitely an evil. They are destructive to the ends. And the best thing we could do is to leave the political parties behind. But as you said earlier, will we ever have a true third party or whatever? I don't know. Michael Savage is out there pushing for a true national party of some sort. But if we keep with the two parties the way we got it now and everything else, again, it's pretty much over.
Well, Sally, we had to put our heads together, the three of us, me, you, and Charlie, and come up with an idea on how to have an election and find candidates without even having any parties. I've been giving a lot of thought, but I haven't come up with a brain fart yet.
Well, Tim Cox's idea, his basic idea to try to help people run for office, I think is still the best approach.
I agree.
But it's obviously not perfect.
No. Well, it's new.
Right.
And the mistake he made was going with the name he went with.
And also, plus the other fact is, to me, another aspect of it was that not using some of the money for a true national campaign to bypass some of the crap from the news media. I mean, he was on Fox News. People loved the idea. The switchboard lit up, but then they would never have him again because Fox News is aligned with the GOP. And the GOP isn't going to like what Tim Cox is doing.
Well, and that comes back down to if we had an honest news network, honest news media, it would not matter.
And, you know, why don't we get a bunch of people right now here? You got Glenn Beck right there in Dallas. And Tim Cox, he's there in Texas. I don't know if he's in Dallas, but he's in Texas.
He's
a little closer. It seems like right now we should be getting a push for Glenn Beck to have Tim Cox on his show and talk about it.
Well, you know, I don't know. We tried to get Glenn Beck to have Tim Cox on and talk about it. He never would do it.
Well, I think we should push for it again. So now that he's openly admitted the GOP is history, maybe now we can get him to do something. I don't know. Anybody that's out there or anyone that's listening, please go out there and try to send emails into Glenn Beck or calls, whatever, and try to keep pushing to get Tim Cox on there to talk about changing the way we elect people.
Yeah, he needs to come up with a new name. And once he does that, I believe the idea will go. Not G-O-O-H. But
no
more.
No, I understood, you know, he was trying to come up with something unique. And the fire of Congress would have been much more effective than saying go.
Oh, he had somebody talking into that. He let a guy talk him into that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Charlie's not on now, but, you know, we were out there pushing fire Congress. We did the T-shirts for fire Congress. People were rallying behind it. They bought the T-shirts and stuff like
exactly.
that. So fire Congress, people related to. Go they didn't relate to.
I just had a conversation yesterday. I went through the local barbecue place and got me a sandwich, and one of the owners came to the window, and I still had my go sign on the side of the car, and he said, we sat there and talked about it. He wanted to know why I wanted to fire Congress. Well, he was Mexican, and he's wanting to know, well, he was American, but he brown skin, let's put it that way. And he wanted to know why. He thought I was going to come up with this immigration crap, and I knew what he was expecting, but he didn't get it. And he really enjoyed the conversation. He says, come back again so I can talk to you some more.
Well, good. Well, we're down to 1 minute, so any last words of wisdom before we call it a night?
I think I'm wisdomed out. great weekend, a great show just because I was part of it. No, I take that back.
No.
It's always Sally. You have a good weekend. God bless Texas. God bless Florida. Oh, my God. And the rest of America. Amen.
Amen. And on that note, thank you, Doreen, Ms. Texas, for joining in. We have had a lively conversation. Charlie and I got into a battle out there early on, so that was kind of funny. I'm sure most people haven't heard that before. But on that note, thank you for tuning in. Please be Americans. Be united as Americans and take ownership of your vote and your country. And may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.
Good night.